We present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. I don't know whether it's good news or bad, but we have the usual contestants. John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And our scorer, who you'll agree is utterly alliterative, Leonie Lawson. John, that delightful painter Sisley had a favourite piece of music. This gay singing phrase, he told a friend, captivates me. I hum it continually as I work. Recognise it, John?
No.
Oh.
Should I?
Yes. It's from Opus 20.
Is it? Oh, well, then it's probably gone septic.
Yes. Yes.
It's one of Beethoven's pieces that went septic.
Right. Scherzo from his
septet.
Septet. Were you toying with me by any chance? Were you toying with me? You were.
You know, I have a great friend called Norman Del Mar, and he's very good at quizzes. But if he, by any chance, doesn't know the answer to anything, he says in a rather lordly way, actually, not a piece I know.
Makes it all right somehow, doesn't it?
Putting it at a disadvantage.
That's right. You know, he sort of puts the piece one down, too. I love him, of course.
Oh, yes,
you mustn't think we're very good friends.
Anyway, that was Sisley's favourite piece of music. I have on my crib sheet here. I have a way of just noting down at the side the source of my information.
Yes.
So that if anybody writes to me and challenges it, then I can also I got it from Encyclopedia so and so. And I've written down at the side here Sisley Cat. I don't think I got it from Sisley's cat, but I think I got it from the catalogue of a Sisley exhibition.
Ah.
I think the points should go to Sisley.
Yes, I think they should. Yeah. Well, also to John. Frank, can you disentangle, please, the respective parts played in this music by Goethe, Gounod and Reilly?
Yes.
So, Goethe, Gounod and Reilly.
Well, purely at a guess, I would say Gounod played the mouth organ.
He may have done. Well, but not on that occasion. He may have done, but not on that occasion. Go on, yeah.
Goethe wrote the music and Gounod wrote Faust.
Yeah.
I could rearrange those.
Yeah, try that, yes.
We'll just... it's almost certainly, I would have thought, Tommy Reilly.
Yes.
On the other end of the harmonica.
Yes.
And Goethe's, getting Goethe's garter was the, you know, it's Faust.
Set
to music by Gounod.
Yes, that's right, with Scala Kanger and the harp. Ian, from the same delicious LP, and again, there's a Goethe connection. What is it, and what's the Goethe connection?
Well, I know what it is.
Well, then you'll know the Goethe.
Well, not necessarily at all. It's, this is an opera called Mignon by Thomas. I know that because I sang in it once on the radio.
Oh, did you?
A long time ago, and I remember being told off for giggling. In a rehearsal, because I was singing, and with the BBC Opera Orchestra, as it was called then, now the Concert Orchestra, and Stanford Robinson was conducting, and it was the sort of last rehearsal, and everything was very tense, and I sang something, and I stopped and started giggling. He said, "What's the matter with you? Why aren't you getting on with it?" You know, because we hadn't much time anyway. And I said, "Well, I'm terribly sorry, but I was supposed to sing in the words... or her..." It was about angels. I'm singing about angels. "Or her brows, their wings extending." And I've just sung, or her wings, their brows extending. And I think it's anatomically impossible, which fortunately made him laugh, and so we got out of it.
Over the years, an extraordinary number of your stories consist of Robbie being petulant with you in rehearsal.
Well, all I can say is that he really had every reason to be. No, there were plenty of times he wasn't, but I was a sore trial to him at one time.
Was Goethe.
Yes, it's the Gavotte from Mignon by Ambroise Thomas. You know the Goethe connection?
No.
It's adapted from Wilhelm Meister's story. But a half mark, I think.
I wouldn't say I don't wish to know that. I just don't happen to
wish to hear any more about it. Dennis, you know this tune. Dum da dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum. Sheila K. Smith wrote Dvorak's piteous little humoresque, that flutter of unwilling laughter, as if a broken heart tried to sing but could not hide its plaintiveness. Dennis, can you give us a hummed or whistled performance showing those characteristics? Piteous, plaintive, a flutter of unwilling laughter.
You wouldn't like me to do three back somersaults on that. Dum di dum di dum di dum di dum. I tell you what I can give you.
Right.
Equaling Sheila K. Smith. I remember when she used to write in John of London's Weekly. Yeah. Sheila K. There was a film called Humoresque, which starred Joan Crawford, and I go through these great bad films. It's one of the really good bad films of the 40s for their dialogue.
Yes.
And she befriends John Garfield, who's a composer and, you know, a pianist. And she says at one point, she has marvellous lines in it. She says at one point, I'm tired of playing second fiddle to the ghost of Beethoven. And another point she says, forget about me, Paul, I'm a lost crusade.
Right, the answer to the next question is a conjunction or an adverb, and the first person to sing out the answer gets his side a mark.
Perhaps. No. Irregardless.
Interrupt me as soon as you can. Right, here's the information about it. The song was composed by Mrs. Helen Rhodes and was much featured by Mrs. Helen Porter Armstrong. Mrs. Armstrong's maiden name was Millhall, and the maiden name of Mrs. Rhodes was Guy, or perhaps Guy, since she was born at Chateau d'Ardelot in France.
Gossip.
Because. The song was, pardon?
Because.
Because you have a mark.
Guy d'Ardelot.
Yes.
Which was, one of Arthur Askey's favourite things to say.
That's right, Guy d'Ardelot. D'Ardelot. Ian, remind us of how the last verse
surely it'd be Passacre.
Because God made thee mine, I'll cherish thee. Night and darkness all the time to be, and pray his love may make our love divine.
Not bad at a moment's notice, was it? Not bad.
Thank God we've got no glasses of water this week.
We were all present at Ian's last top F, weren't we?
What with that and humoresque, you haven't half had an evening tonight.
In case anybody's wondering, I mentioned Mrs. Helen Porter Armstrong, and that was the name, of course, of Dame Nellie Melba. Let's just have some more music on records. It's always nice. John, I'm going to throw the book at you. What begins like this? And ends like this?
Sounds like the end of the Kreutzer.
That's right. So,
but was it the beginning of the Kreutzer? No.
Did you recognise the composer of the first string quartet? It was his first quartet, Janáček.
Ah.
So the answer is?
Well, it's both Kreutzer.
Yes, that's right. The Kreutzer Sonata, the novella by Tolstoy. Janáček's Kreutzer Sonata Quartet, Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata. Frank, in The Sorcerer's Apprentice, a broom takes on a life of its own with dramatic results. Who wrote that music, Frank?
It's somebody called Ho Ho Ho.
That was John cottoning on to what I've been up to.
Ah, yes. You pulled a little swifty
there,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, but we are of the opinion that the music was actually composed by Ludwig Beethoven.
Yes, Beethoven came from the Seventh Symphony, but it was rather like the Ducasse, Sorcerer Apprentice.
Not a lot, but...
Not a lot, no. Actually, my statement was correct. I mentioned the Sorcerer's Apprentice, played just the music, and said, who wrote that music? And the answer was Beethoven, so fair enough. Ian, here's a quick montage of four horn calls from symphonic openings, or rather, three of them are. Which one isn't from the start of a symphony?
The first one has a familiar symphonic ring about it.
Yes, that's right. Schubert, the great C major.
I thought the second one sounded as if it was from a symphony.
Yes, Bruckner 4.
Really?
Mm. Yes. Bruckner 4, Wallace Nil.
And go on, you're pumping me a bit. Go on.
I felt the last one sounded like a symphony.
Yes, Brahms 2, quite right. Mm.
Therefore, think you've cracked it. Yes, I think you've cracked it. But I don't know what the other one is.
Well, I asked you which was the one that wasn't from a symphony, and you got it. It was the third one. It's from Weber's Overture to Oberon.
Ah. Oberon. Lucky old me.
Yes. You had to help you. A tiny little whistle from John, who couldn't resist whistling the next bit.
Well,
I
must acknowledge that did... Yeah. Give me a little bit of encouragement.
Dennis, you have a choice. Listen to this much-loved old song called Two Eyes of Grey, and then after it, tell me the singer's name, or the composer's name, or the date of publication, or the accompanist's name.
Two eyes of grey that used to be so bright. What is the shadow veiling all your light? Why do the tears usurp the place of just the sweetest light I ever saw? In any woman's
song.
I couldn't do like the Capital of Sweden or something like that. I mean, yeah. The accompanist name, the year, what else?
Accompanist, singer, songwriter, or date.
Yes.
It was a Steinway piano.
Yeah. You were the accompanist, Steve. It was beautifully played.
I don't think Steve was born then.
I said to our producer when we were preparing this programme, I said, if I'd asked any of the other three who the accompanist was, they'd have said Gerald Moore. But Dennis will say, you were the accompanist, Steve. And you did.
Have I become so predictable for you, Steve?
No, the others have. Gerald Moore, otherwise I wouldn't have asked you, would I? You didn't know the singer, Ian, did you?
No.
Lovely old song and a lovely singer, Leonard Gowings. The songwriter, Daisy McKeough, that's how she was pronounced, and the date, 1903, Two Eyes of Grey. Wagner, Chopin, Noel Gay, Maurice Jarre, and J.S. Bach, though not in that order, are among the composers represented in my piano medley. Groan time from Frank. Four titles for John and Frank to name, four for Ian and Dennis to name. Right. John, did you get the first piece?
It's Chopin.
Yes.
One I think it's a nocturne in C-sharp minor, but you probably didn't play it in actually.
Well, it's D-flat. It's D-flat nocturne, opus 27, number 2. You have the half knock, I think.
Noel Gay is all over the place.
Place, sir. Yes. That's
all
right.
Over the place.
Then...
Well, it could be Siegfried Diddle.
Yes, Siegfried, part of the Siegfried Diddle. And then the next one?
I caught a whisker of Lawrence of Arabia theme.
Lawrence of Arabia theme by Maurice Jarre. Yes, you've got full mark from that side.
This is first, isn't it?
Now, Ian, did you get the first little reference on your side?
Well, I thought we kicked off also with a Chopin nocturne.
Did you really?
Mm.
Right, opus 32, number 2.
Yeah, well, right. You have superior knowledge, but...
And that led into...
Now is the hour.
Yes. Good. And then?
Which sort of slid into Sidewalks of New York.
Yes. And then careened into...
Into the country.
Yes.
For sheep they safely graze.
Everybody's got full marks on that. Thomas Carlyle wrote of Thackeray, "A beautiful vein of genius lay struggling about him." I wonder if that might not be applied to certain musical people. John, a beautiful vein of genius lay struggling about him. Does that make you think of a composer or performer?
It only makes me think of cheese.
Really?
What?
Really?
Yes.
You're being a bit Gruyere tonight.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, Dorset Vinny, you know, Blue Vinny and all that stuff.
Yes, I know.
I mean, you could say that of any favourite composer, but it doesn't immediately suggest any particular composer to me.
It's
I can't think of any doctors.
Either is interesting. Right for Thackeray, I should have thought. But,
reminds me of the New Yorker who run a regular feature called Block That Metaphor.
Yeah.
yes.
Because how does a vein struggle? Yeah. Don't you know? Which doesn't
vein.
In any way invalidate.
The musician with varicose veins. That's the answer.
Anybody you think Ian might apply to?
Composer of Deep Purple.
Springs to my mind is not a musician, but somebody I've met in a musical context. And that was the late Sir Tyrone Guthrie, who used to produce opera. And I would say that only because this was a man of great brilliance who, in a way, deliberately set himself against the sort of challenges where he... stood less chance of expressing himself and succeeding for the sheer joy of perhaps going and building a theatre in another country and getting together totally inexperienced people to do a Shakespeare play or something like that, rather than going into the area where he could have perhaps scored even more brilliant success.
Yeah. Somebody once said, I don't know who, of Saint-Saëns, didn't they say, that he was the greatest composer who ever lived who wasn't a genius.
Mm.
On Ian's theory that it takes a certain kind of genius to pick the most difficult thing and set yourself the task of achieving it, there was an Australian variety comedian called Will Mahoney. You remember Will Mahoney?
Yes,
now, what he set himself the task of doing, and I mean, it is one of these impossible, mad, gorgeous things, was to tap dance... strapping xylophone sticks to the underneath his shoes so that he tap danced on top of a xylophone doing a legitimate tap and at the same time playing a tune on the xylophone.
Yes.
Now that is so gloriously absurd. It takes a kind of genius to, first of all, to think of it, and then a kind of genius to set himself the task of conquering that trick and doing it.
You mentioned the New Yorker. The New Yorker picked up a lovely thing from one of the Israel papers, you know, at the time when they were still making a tremendous fuss, as they did a few months ago, about playing some Wagner. Mm-hmm. And one of the papers in Israel said, Zubin Mehta is going to conduct the Israel Philharmonic next Tuesday in the prelude from Wagner's Tristan and Isidore. And the New Yorker added the comment, just changing the name isn't going to help.
Oh,
Well, continuing this correspondence, I remember I had a letter from a listener who said, had I not been educated by my music, until I'd been educated by my music, I always thought Zubin Mehta was an instrument.
When I tell you that one of the songs in the finale this week is The Rose of Tralee, you'll wonder whether it's John Orion who will be singing it. Frank, ready?
Oh, the pale moon was shining, rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea. When I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer. Yet 'twas not her beauty alone that won me. Oh, no, 'twas the truth in her eye ever dawning that made me love in Harkness the rose of Tralee.
Don't you wish you had asked Ian or me to sing in Harkness?
No, I wish I'd asked Frank to sing what you're about to sing, actually. Oh. John has a few bars from Puccini's Girl of the Golden West. Very Puccini-esque, and a lot of flats for the pianist.
Quella mi creda libero e lontano sopra una via di ridenzio. Passeranno i giorni ed io non tornerò ed io non tornerò.
From a slightly later dramatico-musical work, Dennis sings, Oh, Ma, Leave the Door Ajar.
Oh, Ma, leave the door ajar. It's quite all right, I'm saying goodnight to Charlie. Oh, Ma, you know what Charlies are. Turn out the light, it's much too bright for Charlie. Then Ma heard her daughter say, Oh, Charlie, take it away. Oh, Ma, leave the door ajar. It's quite all right. I'm saying goodnight to Charlie.
I had a request from someone for Ian to sing My Love's an Arquebus. I think they meant an arbutus. Ian, fire
Another
away.
Another girl of the Golden West, not quite so far away this time.
My love's an arbutus by the borders of Lean, so slender and shapely in her girdle of green. And I measure the pleasure of her eyes' sapphire sheen by the blue skies that sparkle through that soft branching screen. Alas, fruit and blossom. shall lie dead on the lea. And time's jealous fingers dim your young charms, Machree. But unranging, unchanging, you'll still cling to me like the evergreen leaf to the arbutus tree.
The score sheet, it's becoming a habit. A victory for John and Frank. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.